Welcome to the Catholic Cafe, where Catholic truth is served fresh daily. We've made you a reservation in the luxurious corner booth, so come on in and see what's on the menu today. Now, here's your host, Deacon Jeff Drzemski.
Greetings and welcome to the Catholic Cafe. I'm Deacon Jeff, sitting in the luxurious corner booth of the Catholic Cafe. And of course, Thomas Patrick Dorian.
Hello.
Number 58888. so glad you're here, Venerable
Thank
Tom.
You.
And
Thanks
then, of course,
me.
We have Ziggy Rodriguez.
That's me.
Sam is here with us. And so the band is back together. And
where's the car?
Marvin's car. You know what?
It's a long story. We're not going into Marvin's car. although you've been in Marvin's car many times, or he's been in your car, actually, as you carrying him around, Marvin needs a new car. Anyone who wants to donate a car to Marvin, it's tax deductible, I suppose. I don't know. Anyway, let's not go there. We're wasting time, valuable time. In fact, I would rather, if I'm going to waste time, I'll waste time just in appreciation for someone named Colana. And she sent a nice email to us. She was listening to the podcast on the family, the parenting that we've been doing here in our summer of holy matrimony. And she just liked the thing. She came upon it, and she's a listener now. And she said nice things about us. And then she also, in her email, told me about she has a owner and designer of the Shower of Roses shop. So the Shower of Roses shop, you can find that. I guess you just Google that. She sent me a link, but she does Catholic-inspired gifts and cards. I looked, and there's some like really beautiful, beautiful traditional art and stuff, holy cards, some old-style stuff, some new stuff, beautiful things that she designs and does. But anyway, it's a Shower of Roses shop, but it's spelled S-H-O-P-P-E. It's a fancy spell.
Ooh.
Yeah, so just be sure, you know, to say it with a British accent, too.
Yes.
Shopee, you know. Anyway, Shower of Roses shop. And anyway, so if you send me a nice email, I will push your business right here on Catholic
Cafe. As long as you say something nice.
they call that payola. What is that called? But anyway, no, just a nice email. She was very appreciative and said thanks. Thank you again for your inspiring and entertaining broadcast. And it's like, well, thank you.
That's nice.
For those words of affirmation. So I just wanted to say hi to Colana and thanks for listening. Hope you listened to that.
Yeah.
And you get excited by the fact that we acknowledged your fine email. Send us an email, deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. I'd love to hear from you. Now, we only have two more of these shows on Holy Matrimony.
Only two more.
You know, and so this has been a wild ride. Summer's come to an end. Mm-hmm. You know, there's pumpkin spice in all of the stores now. So it's time for the fall to hit us, you know, and take us on to other things. But summer's kind of coming to an end or has ended. And here we have just the last two shows we're going to do on the Summer of Holy Matrimony. And today we're going to talk about something that ends up people think is the reason why everyone gets divorced, and that's money. We're going to talk about like marriage and money, you know, finances in a marriage. And, you know, a lot of people come into this. I do want to address that issue where people say that this is the reason why the biggest reason for divorce is or trouble in marriage is because of the finances. It's actually not the biggest reason. The biggest reason is how you deal with the finances, right? It's the communication. It's not communicating about the finances. That's where the problem is.
I saw a tweet once that I'm paraphrasing this, but it said, in every marriage, you got one partner who's carefully looking after the finances, watching after every penny. Then you have another partner who's living the best time of their lives.
That's exactly right. I highly recommend marriage, you know. And the other's going like, this is a tough job. It's like, well, you know, sorry. I think I'm the one that's really enjoying marriage. I'm the time of my life, probably. So, you know, a lot of people come into marriage, especially our young folk who are getting married and they are, you know, they're just madly in love, right? And they're not really thinking about their finances. So a lot of marriage prep programs, they'll sort of dutifully trot in some kind of financial advisor to talk to them for an hour about money and finances and how to plan money for money issues, how to you know, have a budget and all these kind of things. And I'm not saying that's bad, right? But that's just how they deal with finances in most marriage prep programs. But of course, in in mine or in ours, what we're talking about here in the Catholic Cafe in the Summer of Holy Matrimony, we are this whole thing, there's the one theme that goes throughout all of the programs, I think 16 that we've done, is essentially one flesh, that you're in a one flesh relationship, that everything that happens in your marriage, it all is the one driving theme through the whole thing is one flesh. Mm-hmm. And finances is no different. And so that's what we'll kind of address today. So rather than talk about, you know, we brought in a financial advisor. We have Sam Rodriguez here. You know, if your financial advisor's name is Ziggy, you probably need a different one. But a lot of people come into this thing, you know, especially kids that are in love and they're, you know, pie in the sky and they're looking like rose-colored glasses and their life, everything's looking up. It's beautiful. We're in love. It's like money's not that important because we have love, right? My wife and I have, over many, many years, we've been married almost 37 years. We're in our 37th year, and it's like, you know, the number of times that we've said, like, well, you know, we're rich in love. And that's the better way to go, right, mm-hmm. than think that money doesn't matter. Because money does matter.
Right.
And so we don't want to be the people that you just mentioned in the tweet, you know, or the meme or whatever that says, like, one's really careful and doing the right thing, but basically they're just basically holding up the other.
Well, but I do think it is important to point out, you know, in this world that we live in right now is only becoming more and more materialistic and consumeristic. And I think it's important as we're
exploring. You're a buzzkill. But it's true.
As we're exploring these themes, you know, to ask, you know, ask ourselves, are there things that I'm wanting to put money into that aren't really ultimately helpful? Like if you're not yet married or if you are married, you know, just taking these words within the context of what makes sense for you. Like, am I prioritizing my money in a way that is actually like good for the soul, for example, like serving good for the kingdom? Right. And the vast majority of us, there's a lot of stuff that we consider, oh, I can't live without this and I can't live without that. And it is stuff that we can live without, you know,
right.
And we're not. And it's a really hard thing to go against the grain of that in this culture that we live in. But this culture can, you know, in terms of, like, you know, money having a stranglehold on marriage. Yes, a lot of it has to do with bad decisions that are happening, but a lot of those bad decisions are being encouraged by the culture that we're living in right now.
Yeah, that's a great point that you're making, because I think there's a lot of times, and again, I don't want to judge and point fingers, because we can all look at other people's finances and find out where they're making mistakes, mm-hmm. and we don't necessarily look at our own. But when I hear people, like younger folks, thinking like, well, we want to get more financially stable before we have kids or whatever, or we're going to limit the size of our family because we don't have enough money. And then, you know, you can kind of go through and look and go like, well, you know, if you got rid of Netflix, you could have another kid. And I'm not saying it's that simple, but the reality is, you know, what we're spending and what we choose to spend money on. Now, I'm not saying that everyone should do nothing but have money towards building their family. But ultimately, kind of what you're talking about there, Sam, is like essentially we need to be building up the kingdom. And that includes our family and living the one flesh relationship. And it's amazing how many things that we put in the, you know, we really need this column, or I'm not willing to give that up column.
And I struggle with that personally. I'm speaking as someone, I don't have it all figured out. You know, I need to put God first in my own financial decisions, and I don't think I'm alone in that. You know?
Yeah, now, is your beard balm, is that in the necessary category, or... Because you know you've got your appearance to keep up. Yeah, that's a nice beard you have there.
Thank you.
So there's a well-known financial planner dude, a Christian, and if I use two different words like financial and peace together, you know who I'm talking about. It's Dave Ramsey, and he's got a wonderful program, you know, with financial peace, and that's kind of like a copyrighted, you know, show and books and everything, and it's good stuff, good solid advice, and so kudos to him and to that whole ministry, but you can't copyright, you know, like peace in your finances, right? Because God wants your family to be at peace, right? Because there is peace in Him. So when we live rightly ordered, right? If we live that orthodox life, then we're going to be at peace, and that's the goal. And finances is a key area, in your marriage that needs to be addressed. Now, there's a couple of concepts that are really borrowed from what we've already talked about in the Summer of Holy Matrimony. One of them is this concept of it's not mine or yours, but it's ours. That's the first thing that people need to understand. No matter what you bring to the marriage, right? You're going to have your own toaster, your own TV. Like living as a bachelor, right? As guys, we would now. A lot of times, our wives don't want that. You know that set of bullhorns we have on the wall, or that or that big Jack Daniel's barrel, centerpiece in the middle of our
beer can collection.
Our beer can collection, which is anyway.
It's not going in the bedroom.
No, it's those are the things that they aren't necessarily assets. But there are a lot of things. Like we do have money, right? We bring money to the marriage, and it's no longer our money. Right. It's not longer my money. It's our money, I guess you'd say. It's like when I say our, I mean, as guys, we bring things, right? As the ladies also bring things. It doesn't belong individually. It's now, all that money goes into one big pot.
Right.
The one flesh pot. That's, all of it has to be done there. All of it has to be placed there. And the sooner you start thinking in terms of ours, in terms of a couple, of one flesh, of a marriage, then the better and the less stress there's going to be. Because now you're, even if one brings $1 million and one brings $1, well, you've got $1,001,000 now, mm-hmm. right? And you have to look at it that way. And the person who had $1 million does not go like, well, I get, $1 million times more decision-making power. Mm-hmm. It's not, that's not the way it works. It's no longer your money or my money. It is our money. Right, or our asset. So we may have separate cars. And we still get, we get in the habit of saying your car and my car because I typically drive the Honda Civic that my mother, gave to me, and it's got 159,000 miles. That's my car, mm-hmm. right? That's my car because I drive it. But really, in our relationship, it's our car.
Right.
Right, but whatever I make when I'm in my employment, whatever my wife makes, that's our money. It all goes into the same pot. And whether I make more or less than her doesn't matter.
Right.
So this yours, mine thing doesn't work anymore. And it can't work because that becomes an enemy to the one flesh. Mm-hmm. Right. That's where when we separate things and define them and put labels on them, don't touch that. That's mine. That's a problem. Mm-hmm. Right. And we don't want to take that to extremes. You know, it's like, well, that's your, you brought your baseball card collection. It's like, well, I want to sell it. You know, I put it on eBay. What? You did what? It's like, it's not, I don't mean that, but you have to look at the value of things and go, well, this is ours, mm-hmm. you know, and then you discuss those things. But that also includes another thing that typically you come with separate things, but you can't have separate bank accounts anymore. That's one that's, it's interesting because a lot of people are like, whoa, wait, what? Why would it matter whether we have separate bank accounts? It's because that's yours and mine. That's like separate things that you control. It's like I have 100% control. I know the password. I know I have the access point. I have the debit card. I have the whatever. And that's that becomes my money and your money, mm-hmm. right? And frequently when couples get married, they've got separate bank accounts. They've got separate insurance policies. They've got all these things that are separate. And the whole job of really in that honeymoon phase when you're really, really, excited about being in love and everything's great, but right towards the end of that, one of the ways we get out of the honeymoon phase of a marriage, which should never get out of, but we do, is like when we start going, okay, we've had a year of bliss. Now we got to figure out how to commingle all our finances and figure out where our insurance and life insurance and health insurance and who's providing for this and whose job and this. And you start looking at all the money and a little more closely, right? And so getting rid of separate bank accounts is a really big and important thing. Right, because it's the physical reality of taking the separate and making it one whole.
Yep.
Right, and that's where the rubber hits the road. It's like you can't say it's our money, but I'm just keeping our money, my version of our money, over here. Mm-hmm. And I get sometimes it's difficult to. You've got automatic debits that come out to paying for. Whatever your payments are electronic or debits or whatever, and getting all that stuff restructured is
it's a pain
but it's a good thing to do, mm-hmm. right, to be with it. Tom, did you have difficulty when you were like when you were married and separating all that stuff?
Or still
did
do.
You even think? Oh, still do. You've been married for 114 years now. Is that
true? That's exactly right. Husband years.
Yeah, husband years. That's right. Yeah. It's
everybody does.
It doesn't. It's never simple and easy.
Right.
But it's always a good thing to revisit and discover. Like, hey, you know, this here's another little thing that can. Because when you have separate things, mm-hmm. you're not as united as when you have one thing.
It leads to division.
Yeah, right. It can.
It is division.
And when there becomes a problem, it's a bad division.
Oh, it's bad.
It's going to make that division or that problem worse.
Yep.
So tied to that is this concept of no more secrets. You know, and this is not specifically just a financial thing. It's like, I'm not going to tell my wife. I'm not going to tell my wife I did that, or I'm doing that, or I'm not going to tell my... Those are not good things. That's basically a violation of trust.
Right.
I trust you with everything, honey, except for this knowledge.
Right.
Right? Now, especially when it comes to finances, I have very, very close relations where there have been problems with things like opening up a separate bank account or charge account. You know, at Target or whatever, open up a little, because it's so easy. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. And then a little bit later on, you know, mama wanted to go and get that bank account, and then, but dad didn't know about it. And then it's like all of a sudden he's like looking at a bill 6 months later and go like, what is this? Oh, I was going to tell you about that. Well, that's a problem. Because, yeah. Well, when? 6 months ago when you opened it? You know, and you know, it's not necessarily a big bad wolf that you've let in the door, but it could be, mm-hmm. and it's a kind of a separation or a lack of trust that can lead, it can wound and harm the family. So you have to be able to look at those things, which leads into the next things that I'm going to talk about, and that is like sharing every financial decision.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so it's not a big deal. Maybe she wanted to have a little fun money or something where she felt like she was able to, without asking, to go and buy a new thing. Like maybe he wanted to buy a new set of golf clubs. She wanted to buy a new dress. Whatever it is, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. But really, there's nothing says you can't go and do those things if you don't discuss it.
Right.
You know, if I want to buy a new set of golf clubs nowadays... Have you seen the price of those things, Tom?
Oh, my gosh. That's an investment.
There's this driver I want.
You got to insure those things.
TaylorMade has this driver that just came out. It's
really?
Like, yeah, it's a QI10. I'm not advertising for him.
Yeah.
But I looked at that thing, and a buddy of mine has it. He came upon one. But it's like...
Does it hit straight?
Apparently, it hits perfectly straight.
Okay, well
no matter how you hit the ball, you can just look at the ball, and it shoots off the driver. And it's like...
Just do it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's $599, and it's like,
it's
no. What I do know from just history, it's going to be...
One club.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
Now, so you get a new set of clubs, a couple $1,000s, you know, easy if you get a really good set of clubs. And the thing at the end of the day is, that's a financial decision that you should share.
Yeah.
You know, honey, if you want to take an extra $10 and get you that nice rump roast, you know, down there, you know, at the Kroger, which is, it's, I guess it's $110 now. I'm showing my age, right? You know, but I'm going to go get one thing for me. Well, what's the thing you're going to get? This $2,000 set of golf clubs and a $600 driver. It's like, wait, that doesn't seem fair. So you discuss these things.
Right.
Right? You need to talk about these things. I remember from personal experience, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. It happened in my family. Mm-hmm. It was my mom and dad, and I learned a lot from my mom and dad. And I love my mom and dad. My mom's gone to be with the Lord. My dad, you know, he's hanging in there, and I don't think he's going to listen to this, so I won't tell him about this show. But one day, back in the 70s, he came home. You know, he came home one day, and we're all playing in the yard. And my mom's out there, whatever, doing some, I don't know what she was doing, but we were all out there. And dad drives up, and he's in a brand new 1977 Toyota Corolla wagon. It was white, and he pulls up in it. He's got a big grin on his face. And she kind of looked like, what is that? And he goes, honey, I bought you a new car. Now, he expected a squeal of excitement, like, oh, you love me so much, you got me a car, thank you, my big strong man, got me a car, whatever. Now, remember, this is the 70s, so it's kind of holdover from the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, mm-hmm. and traditional roles of a man and a father and a husband and the family and maybe the homemaker wife or whatever. But the point is, you know, you know, that definitely wouldn't fly now. But back then, I guess it sometimes did. But she was mad at him. Hmm. She was unhappy. He's like, wait, I'm handing you some car keys, sweetie. You should be appreciative of this. Why are you mad at me? It's like, you didn't ask me whether I wanted a car, A. B, whether I'd want a wagon. C, what, a white wagon? You got me a white car, you know? And it's like, I don't, what are you thinking, right? And the truth is, it was like, it taught me as a younger man, a major financial decision is getting made by the family, mm-hmm. not just by one member. Like just mm-hmm. so, this can be problematic. So every major financial decision you make in your family, should we move for my job? Should we move for your job? What should we invest this money, or should we put it in savings and just hold on to it as sort of a rainy day fund? How much should we put in there? Do the kids really have to have private school? These are decisions that are big, that are impactful to the family. And they're part of this one flesh relationship. And having a true one flesh relationship involves saying, let's sit around, let's talk about this, right? Let's spend time. We can agree about it. We can disagree about it. We can argue about it, you know, in a positive way. We can agree to disagree. But at the end of the day, we make a decision that we're both unified in that decision. And even if you're both wrong, you're wrong together as one flesh, right? So there's something to be said about trusting the other and not suddenly like bestowing upon them gifts. I don't know that I know this, but maybe my dad bought himself something really nice, you know, back then at the time, so he could justify that he bought her a car. I don't know how that worked.
I bet your mom wasn't a big fan of those December to Remember commercials, you know.
No, none of those things. And we never had something with a big red bow on it on Christmas morning that Santa left in the driveway.
Right.
But, you know, that's all good stuff. But here's the thing. The truth is my parents got divorced in their 25th year of marriage, which is very sad, and that taught me a lot too. And the thing is, that was 7 years after this event. Now, I'm not saying this event caused their divorce, but what I am saying, when I look at things like this, I go, this is a part of a pattern of not communicating, of not sharing, of not being one flesh, mm-hmm. right? And so if you want this long-lasting, beautiful marriage relationship, you've got to communicate, you've got to talk, you've got to share your thoughts, your feelings, and you've got to listen to the other talking about it, especially these financial decisions. And I don't want to talk about finances in marriage without just one more time slamming prenuptial agreements.
Okay.
As much as, you know, you're going to have financial advisors that will tell you, oh, no, I know that Deacon Jeff, he's a good man, but he's a little naive when it comes to this stuff. And the thing is, financially, you make seven figures, she makes, you know, five figures, whatever. So you need to put your money over here in this thing.
Yeah.
Get her to sign this agreement that if things don't work out. The problem is, when that happens, you're immediately saying, hey, just in case this thing doesn't work out.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's no longer trust. It's no longer like, you know what, let's do this together. I am all in. And all in may be different financial numbers for two different people. Mm-hmm. But you are all in, and you are saying, I'm putting it all in there, and I'm 100% trusting you and trusting God.
There are Catholic groups who will do financial counseling for couples.
And that's good.
Yeah, so it's not like, this is what happens if you get divorced. It's, okay, this is a complicated money situation or whatever it might be, the circumstances of an individual couple, and they get them through a place where before they get married, there's an understanding. Has nothing to do with dissolution.
Right.
There's just an understanding as to, like, this is how much you should be spending on a monthly basis, and this is what needs to be set aside and why, and these are the circumstances where that changes, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
That's fine. But
and actually, that's good.
That's great.
Right.
Yeah.
So having a financial planner come and look at your specific situation, right, that's awesome. Just know that they're coming from a secular, financial, strictly data-driven, money-driven, economic solution to a problem. And they may not have their total sight on this one flesh relationship.
Yeah.
So it's good to have a budget. It's great to have a budget to know what's coming in and what's going out and how to balance that, to know where to put things in categories, understanding your credit to debt ratio. All these things are important. Now, at the same time, it's okay if both people don't want to be involved in getting a HELOC, you know, the home equity line of credit, and going like, well, it's like, look, I trust her or I trust him with those decisions. I'm okay with that. At least you've talked about it, and you're not, it's not happening in secret, right? You're actually doing these things. And so having a financial plan together and working on those things and not waiting until the end of your lifetime to figure those things out, those are great things. Mm-hmm. Just know everything has to work within the one flesh relationship.
Yeah, line to draw is you can't say, well, but this is what we do if we get divorced.
Oh, yeah. That's a bad line, because that's setting yourself up for failure.
Right.
Yeah. Because you're entering failure into the equation. It's like, no, when we get married, we're not getting unmarried. Mm-hmm. We are getting married. This is a lifelong covenantal relationship. In the same way that God has the chosen people of Israel, and they will always be the chosen people, He married the people of Israel, and He's still married to the people of Israel, regardless of the state or the condition of those people today. He's still married. He's not leaving the marriage. In the same way, we are not getting unmarried, right? Mm-hmm. Tom and I are in this for good. We are in this for good.
Yeah.
And we love it, and it's a beautiful thing. It's one of the few things in the world I can count on and know that my wife always has my back.
Yep.
And that's a beautiful, beautiful gift. That's God speaking through her to me. It's affirmation. It's one flesh. It's what it means to be in a one flesh relationship. So finances, yes, they're important. They're vital. But every single thing in the financial world in your marriage can be addressed in that one flesh relationship. We're doing it to build up that relationship, to make sure that relationship and our relationship with God is a flourishing one. Mm-hmm. And God blesses those marriages in that way. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and in the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Catholic Cafe. If you'd like to contact Deacon Jeff, send him an email at deaconjeff@thecatholiccafe.com. Visit us on the web at thecatholiccafe.com. You can also find us on iTunes or follow us on Facebook and Twitter. The Catholic Cafe is brought to you by the Order of Malta Federal Association. Join us again at The Catholic Cafe, serving up salvation one cup of coffee at a time.